This fall, we are going through a sermon series called Bless. And we are looking at these five practical ways to bless people in our lives, particularly those who are not believers in Jesus. And so last Sunday, we started with that first letter in Bless, the B that stands for Begin with Prayer. And we talked about the importance of starting with prayer as we think about how God might want to use us as a witness of His, that we want to start by seeking God's direction for how He wants us to bless people. And then also as we begin to pray for those individuals that God lays on our hearts, those people that God may have led us to bless. And so today we're going to be turning to the next letter in Bless, L, which stands for Listen with Care. Listen with care. As God leads us, as we begin to pray for people, and God leads us into relationships, we want to listen to people, to listen to their stories. And the text that we're going to be looking at today that will help us focus on this idea of listening with care comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And so I'll be reading that for us. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles or the Bibles in the pews. So Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that is living and active. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, your word today, that your Spirit would speak to us, and that you would illuminate our minds, Lord, to understand what you're saying in this passage, especially about how you're calling us to listen with care to those around us. And so we pray that you would speak now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. In the book, The Nine Arts of Spiritual Conversations, the co-author, John Crilly, tells a story of how he and his friend Dave were meeting weekly with a group of people who were spiritual seekers. And one evening, a woman named Eileen asked this question in that group of people: "Do people really go to hell if they don't follow Jesus? That seems awfully harsh for a loving God." And so John Crilly writes, "Without asking any further questions or listening for what God might be whispering to us, Dave and I launched into a tag team explanation of hell. We used lots and lots of words and lots of passion. Unfortunately, we were unaware of our relational impact and did not pick up on the group's nonverbal cues as they became quiet and withdrawn, eyes focused down at the carpet. By the end of our hellfire and brimstone lecture, the room was filled with tearful and angry people. The group departed from the apartment that night, and Eileen never returned. A few months later, a friend of Eileen shared with John and Dave some of Eileen's backstory. She shared that Eileen's mother had been diagnosed with cancer and went on a pilgrimage to a healing shrine in France, and on the return flight home, she died. Then Eileen's father, sister, and a family friend were killed in an airplane accident. And so Eileen was incredibly grieved about their deaths, and she worried about the possibility that they might be in hell. Now, when John and Dave heard all of this, they realized that Eileen's question about hell was not a theoretical one. It wasn't a philosophical discussion, that actually it was a very personal one, and that it had many layers below the surface. And John writes that he regrets that when she had asked that question in that group, that they hadn't stopped and prayed and asked some clarifying questions to understand where Eileen's question was coming from, and that they hadn't listened to her empathetically. John Crilly says this as he reflects on this moment. He says, "I learned the wisdom of Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame." Unfortunately, that is what many people do. Talk before listening. How many of you have ever been in a conversation with someone where it's obvious that they are not really listening to you? All right, yeah, probably most of us have been there. That other person is distracted, or you kind of feel like they're just waiting for their turn to talk, like they're just kind of waiting to jump in and share their thoughts. Or maybe they literally interrupt you while you're talking. They want to talk. Now, on the other hand, how many of you would be willing to admit that sometimes you've been the one that wasn't really listening to the other person very well? Yeah, I've been there. You know, it can be very easy to be more interested in sharing your own thoughts rather than really paying attention and listening to another person's perspective. And this can particularly happen in situations like the one described by John Crilly. It can be easy to think that being a witness for Christ and sharing the gospel is all about talking. It's all about talking. And it is about talking. We do need to talk. But if we talk before we listen, it's very likely that, first of all, the other person is not going to be very interested in listening to us, if all we're interested is in talking at them. And also, we might miss the opportunity to speak in a way that's actually addressing what's going on in that person's life. And how do we know what's going on in that person's life? By listening to them, by getting to know them. Well, we see a great example of listening before speaking in our text today. In our text from Acts 8, Philip is walking along this desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he sees a chariot. And the Holy Spirit nudges him and says, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So verse 30 says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet." Philip goes up to the chariot, and what does he do? He listens. What's going on in this chariot that the Holy Spirit has nudged me to go and spend time with? And as he listens, he hears this man reading the scriptures from the book of Isaiah. We find out a little bit later in this passage that the particular passage he's reading is from Isaiah 53, which describes the suffering servant. And this is like one of the chapters in Isaiah that's like the clearest foreshadowing of Christ. But What does Philip do when he hears him reading? Philip easily could have, as he hears this man reading from Isaiah 53, he could have gone up to him and just started preaching at the guy. Excuse me, I couldn't help overhearing you reading from the prophet Isaiah. Just FYI, that suffering servant that Isaiah is talking about is actually Jesus, the one who was crucified on the cross and died for your sins. That's what he could have done, right? Just kind of launched into a presentation of the gospel. Now, in a little bit, we're going to see that Philip does actually talk about Jesus and how Jesus fulfilled this passage. But what does he do first? He first asks a question, and then he listens to the man. In the second half of verse 30, Philip asks, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip wants to get a better sense of this man and his story and what's going on in his life. He wants to understand, does this man understand anything of what he's actually reading? He wants to listen before he starts speaking. And we see the man's response in verse 31. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You see, it's Philip's act of listening that leads to an invitation for him to speak. He doesn't force this on him. The man actually invites him to speak to him. But it comes after Philip has listened and asked a question of him. Now, it turns out that this man, he's actually looking for someone to explain the Bible to him. And by the way, this is like a pastor's dream come true right here. Someone coming up to you and saying, "Please explain the Bible to me." That's like, man, that's awesome. So if any of you are out there, be my Ethiopian eunuch. You know, come, I'd love to explain the Bible to you. But Philip would never have known. He would never have known this if he hadn't asked the question and then listened for the answer. As we think about this practice of listening with care, I want to highlight three ways that listening can be connected to this idea of blessing people that we're looking at in this series. Blessing especially those who are not believers in Christ. How can listening with care, how does that lead to blessing? Well, the first way is that listening with care is itself an act of blessing and love. That listening itself is an act of blessing and love. As I said before, we can probably all think of times when we are sharing something with someone and they weren't really listening to us. And how do you feel when that happens? It's frustrating, right? You feel like what you're sharing doesn't really matter to the other person. Maybe it even feels kind of like you don't matter, right? That they're not willing to tune in and actually listen to you. All they care about is sharing their own ideas. Now, on the flip side, think about how it feels when you talk to someone who's a really good listener. I have an aunt who is a great listener, and she asks really great questions. And whenever I talk with her, I just feel that she's genuinely interested in me, that she really wants to know what's going on in my life. And so she just kind of focuses her attention on me. She asks questions about my life. She interacts with what I tell her. You know, she doesn't just kind of like nod, but she actually like engages with me. She asks great follow-up questions. And guess how I feel after talking with her? I feel loved and blessed. I feel loved and blessed when I talk with this aunt who listens to me. In our scripture reading that Daniel read earlier in the service from Mark 10, we hear about a blind beggar named Bartimaeus who calls out to Jesus to have mercy on him. And many of the people around Bartimaeus, they yell at him, "Be quiet." They don't want to listen to him at all. And Bartimaeus, he was probably very used to people not listening to him, kind of being shoved off to the side. "Be quiet, you beggar." But what does Jesus do? He stops. He tells the people to call Bartimaeus over to him. And then Jesus asks him a question. what do you want me to do for you? And then what does Jesus do? He listens. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, he stands before this blind beggar and says, I want to hear from you. And I'm just going to listen. The act of inviting this blind beggar to come and share his need, as Jesus looks at him and listens to him, that in itself is an act of blessing and love. As we begin with prayer, as we talked about last week, as we begin praying for people in our lives who don't know God, those prayers are also themselves an act of blessing. Because as we ask God, who is the source of all blessing, to bless those friends and neighbors, praying is a way to bless them, right? We're inviting God to bless those people in our lives. And in a similar way, the tangible act of listening with care is a way to bless people. To simply show someone your undivided attention, to take a genuine interest in them, to listen to their opinions and perspectives without immediately sharing your own opinions or arguing against theirs. You see, our culture is, right now, is so polarized, right? And our culture is so busy and so distracted. And so in this culture where people are constantly multitasking and distracted, right, looking at their phones while they're, you know, trying to do something, where we are in this culture where people just talk past each other, we're just kind of shouting at each other, and really often unwilling to listen or try to understand someone else's point of view. I don't even want to consider your point of view because I just want to yell my point of view at you. In this world, in this culture, listening with care is revolutionary, right? Listening with care, actually paying attention, saying, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your perspective. I may not agree with it, but I want to hear it. I want to understand it. I want to learn how to actually love you. That in itself, listening, is a way to bless someone, is a way to show love to our neighbors. Now, a second way that listening can be connected to blessing is that listening with care also helps us know better how to bless others. Listening with care helps us to know better how to bless others. Listening itself can be a blessing, but also there are other ways we can bless someone, and listening will help us understand how to do that better. Many times we make assumptions about people, and we think that we know what they need or what they don't need. And so oftentimes we can impose our own ideas about how to bless someone. We think that I know what this person needs. This is how they need to be blessed. But when actually, the flip side of that would be getting to know them and listening for what would actually bless them. During the year after I graduated from college, a homeless man started attending the church that I was attending. I'm going to call him James, although that's not his real name. And I asked another guy from our church, who was a few years older than me, if we could start meeting with James to see if there was something that we could do to help him out. And so this other church member and I, we basically had this idea in our minds that our goal was to try to get James off the streets, to help him find some kind of regular employment, and then help him find an affordable place to live. Not bad things, right? But basically, what our approach was, in other words, our goal was, we're going to try to fix James. We're going to kind of treat him as our project and try to fix his life. And so when we started meeting with him, we asked him questions, but those questions were all geared towards our predetermined plan of how we were going to bless him, how we were going to fix him. And so we didn't really listen to him. And so over the next few months, all these plans and ideas that we had about how we were going to help James, you know, move out of homelessness, guess what? They didn't work at all. I mean, all the things we tried, they didn't work. James didn't follow through on the things that we asked him to do, and we started getting frustrated. Started getting frustrated with him, you know, thinking to ourselves, why doesn't he appreciate all the things that we're trying to do for him? And then at one of our meetings with him, it suddenly became clear to us, our idea of what we thought James wanted to be helped with was completely wrong. Our ideas of how we were going to help and bless James, that was not at all meeting where he was. James wasn't looking for someone to help him get a job and find a place to live. What he really wanted, at least right there, in his life at that moment, what he really wanted was to share his story with people. He wanted to be heard. He didn't want to feel invisible as someone who was homeless. And he also was an artist. And what he really wanted to do was share his artwork with people, to be able to actually share this thing, that this creativity that he had in his life. And so as we started to actually listen to him and where he was, and we realized, you know what? A better way to bless James is to actually provide an opportunity for him to share his story with our church, and to provide an opportunity for him to share his artwork with people. And so we began to set up opportunities for him to do that, to share about his life as someone who is homeless, to be able to be heard and not feel invisible, for him to share his artwork with our church and our community. When we stopped to actually listen to James, we learned how to better bless him, rather than just working off our own assumptions. When Philip spent time listening outside the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, it led him to know what kind of question to ask. Do you understand what you are reading? He needed to hear that this Ethiopian was reading this passage of scripture and he was wrestling with this. That opened the door for him to this is how I might be able to bless this man. And then as he asked that question, do you understand? When the Ethiopian eunuch told him he didn't understand because he didn't have anyone who could explain it to him, then Philip knew, okay, this is how I can bless this man. I can explain to him this passage of scripture. If Philip hadn't listened, hadn't asked the eunuch that question, he might have missed the opportunity that God had opened for him to bless this man. Are we listening to the people in our lives to hear their struggles, to hear their questions, to hear their needs? If we're not listening, how are we going to know how to bless them? The third and final way that listening can lead to blessing is that listening with care helps us hear how God is already at work in a person's life. When Philip arrived on that desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza, when he went up to that chariot, God was already at work in that man's life. Philip didn't initiate that work. God had already been seeking after that man. He'd already been preparing the way. I mean, we read about this at the beginning of the passage that this man, he had traveled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. He obviously was seeking, wanting to know something about this God of Israel. And he had gotten a hold of a written copy of the book of Isaiah. Now, for us who can, like, look at the Bible on our phones or can pick up one of the many books of the Bible in our pews here today, we don't understand how incredibly rare that was in that culture. I mean, people did not have their personal copies of the scriptures. If you were lucky, a synagogue might have one copy that they would read. And so, you know, these were hand-copied scrolls. This is incredibly rare, but this man was clearly wealthy. Verse 27 tells us that he was in charge of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. He had his own personal chariot, which again was incredibly rare in that culture. So this man, he had means, he had wealth. But what did he do with his wealth? He wanted a copy of Isaiah. He wanted to somehow get this book that he had heard about. And so when Philip hears this man reading that passage about the suffering servant, he gets a glimpse into how God has already been at work in this man's life. Philip, he doesn't need to initiate that. He just needs to listen long enough to hear what God has already been up to. Last Sunday, I shared about getting together with the parents of one of the kids who had been in Lucas's class. And one of the things that I heard in that conversation with that couple was that both of them had this newfound hunger to be a part of a spiritual community and to explore spiritual questions. And so what I heard as they began to share about that was that God was already calling to them. It wasn't me that sort of like, by my brilliance, like got these people to consider being interested in spiritual things. No. They were already there. God had already been working to draw them. I could simply join in what God was already doing. I could fit into where God was already at work. If I hadn't been listening, though, I might have missed that. If I had just sort of come in and said, I've been praying for this opportunity, and I'm just going to kind of launch into this gospel presentation with these two, it would have fallen on deaf ears, probably. I was able to build off of what God was already stirring in them, rather than trying to force a conversation on my own terms. As we listen to people, to their hurts and their hopes and their questions and their struggles, we will start to see how the gospel, the good news of Jesus, might actually sound like good news to them. Why would this message actually be good news for this person? How can I proclaim the gospel in a way that this person is going to hear it, understand it, and actually feel the need for it? If we just start preaching at people, even if our preaching is true, it's very likely that people will just tune us out. But if I get to know someone, I listen to them, I actually care for them, I actually want to know them, not just as a project, as someone to try to fix, but actually as a human being created in God's image, as someone who Jesus Christ has died for. And I begin praying, God, how are you at work in this person's life? Where is the need? What do you want to do in this person's life? I might start to hear how God has already been at work preparing them for this. And by listening to them and asking questions and looking for opportunities ultimately to point them to Jesus, maybe God might actually do something to rescue that person. And that's exactly what happens in Philip's encounter with this man. In verse 35, we read, "Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." Philip got there. He got to the speaking, but it came after he listened. And in our series here, we're gonna get there. That last S is talking about sharing your story and sharing the story. But before we get there, we need to begin with prayer. We need to listen with care. And we're going to talk the next couple weeks about eating together, spending time with people, and then serving with love. The end result in our text is that this Ethiopian eunuch is baptized, and he goes on his way rejoicing. Now, that's not going to always happen in our encounters where on the spot someone becomes a believer. But my question for you that I want you to ponder is, who might be your passing chariot? Who has God been preparing so that he can tell you, go to that chariot and stay near it? Go and listen to that person. To whom is God calling you to listen with care? As you think about that, I'm going to invite up Hoiwing Louie to share a story of how God has worked in her life in this way, of how what we've been talking about today has taken shape in her life. And so I'm going to invite Hoiwing to come up, and then I'll close in prayer after that.
Good morning. I'm going to be sharing with you about a relationship with one of my friends, and I'm going to change her name to Tina for confidentiality's sake. So I met Tina during our first year of college. We got along very well immediately, so we quickly became very close friends. I would say she was my closest friend from college. We spent a lot of time together. We went to most classes together, we studied together, we had meals together. Most of all, we talked a lot, not just about schoolwork, but about life in general. She's Vietnamese and Buddhist. Her parents were divorced for a number of years and were constantly arguing. She rented one room in a house near school on her own to be able to study in peace away from her family. Finances were tight and she didn't have many friends. My mom would sometimes make food for me to bring to her when we went to school. Because her mom is more materialistic and controlling, she often would come to me for advice about her relationships with family, friends, and boyfriends. During our conversations, I would tell her that what I would do, often based on my Christian beliefs. When she got into disagreements with her mom or her boyfriend's family members, I encouraged her not to retaliate, but to still treat them with respect and love. I told her that when she is lonely, God is always there to listen, even if no one else is around. One time, she was devastated by rejection from a boyfriend, and I shared the gospel with her and asked if she wanted to accept Jesus Christ as her personal savior. She said yes, and I prayed with her. I gave her a Bible in Vietnamese, but she never attended church to this day. After she got over that crisis, she wasn't as interested in God. To this day, Tina is still Buddhist. We still keep in touch over the phone and text. After college, she moved to Dallas and got married, had two daughters. I sent her kids Christian books along with their birthday and Christmas gifts. I encouraged her to find a church so she can make friends and get connected to her community. She said her husband was Buddhist, so she had to be Buddhist too. She would call me whenever she had a problem with her husband, her family, her job. She had no family and no friends in Dallas. Whenever she had issues with her husband, her mom would tell her to divorce him because she was divorced herself. And I would tell her marriage is a lifetime commitment and encourage her to work things out with her husband by talking more often. One day she called me and she said she was hiding in a closet because her husband had hit her. I told her how to protect herself and her kids and prayed for her. A few years ago, she and her family moved to LA. She called me to tell me that her husband had walked out on her and her two daughters. Both she and her older daughter were very upset and scared. She was more afraid for her daughters than for herself. After speaking to me, she asked if I could speak to her daughter to console her too. I told her daughter about God's unconditional love and that he's in control, that she didn't do anything wrong to cause her daddy to leave, and that she was still loved by her parents and God. After a few days, her husband came home, thank God. There's a lot of drama in Tina's life. She seems to come to me whenever she wants to talk to a friend or has a problem. It takes a lot of time to listen to and care for others' problems. But this world is full of lonely people who need God's love. People who need us to be willing to listen and try to help, if only in small ways and not as dramatic as Tina's issues. A lot of times I really didn't feel equipped to give Tina advice, but each time God put the words in my mouth, and I just hope that one day Tina and her family will truly come to believe and trust God. In the meantime, I will continue to plant seeds in Tina's life through our interactions.
Amen. Thank you, Hoi Wing. That's a great picture of what God's calling us to do, to come alongside people who are in need, to listen, just to be available, right, to hear their stories, to care for them, look for ways to serve in love. Thank you for sharing that. We'll be praying for Tina. Yeah. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, we confess that often we do not listen to people with care. Lord, that often we care more about showing that we're right rather than showing that we care. Lord, we often try to force our own ideas of blessing on people rather than listening to them, listening to you and following your direction. And Lord, we often try to be in control of situations rather than listening for how you may already be at work and how we can join in what you're doing. So Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for these times where we do not listen, where we become more absorbed in ourselves rather than being open to others, God. We ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have paid for that sin in full, that you do forgive us, and that you look upon us with love and mercy, that even despite our failure to listen, our failure to bless others and our attempts to control, that you still choose to bless us. Lord, we don't understand that. It's your mercy. It's your grace. We thank you. And so in response to this great blessing, we pray that you would use us to bless others, that you would show us, Lord, who it is that you're wanting to bless through us. Lord, open doors with people in our lives that we might be able to listen to them. And in those moments where we see that opportunity, God, we pray that you would not, that we would not be so busy that we'd rush past it, or we wouldn't be so consumed with trying to share our own ideas, but that you would give us the grace to pause and to listen out of love. We pray that ultimately that they too would come to know your blessing, your salvation, and that just like this Ethiopian man, that they would go on their way rejoicing. Pray that you would do that, Lord, in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.